Tonight, we will be looking at what we have come to know and love as that story that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15 about the prodigal son. And in that story, we know that there was that father, and he had one son, a younger son, that went away and did his own thing, and then we have the older son that stayed at home. I will speak for just a few moments about the younger son and about the father, and when I'm done, Quintavious will take just a few moments and conclude this lesson in regards to the actions of that older son. But I want us, in progressing in this lesson, to keep in mind the theme for this month and what we're talking about, the home. The home is very important to God because there are roles and responsibilities that everyone in that family, everyone in that home has been given. And we don't have the right, we don't have the authority to change either one of those roles. And sometimes the hardest thing that we can do is follow authority. But when it comes to God, there is no wiggle room and there is no way to transfer power, if you will. He said it, we must do it. Bottom line. Let us look in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse number 11, Jesus is speaking to all those tax collectors and sinners that drew near to him to hear him. The beginning of chapter 15 says. And he responds with this parable to those that had said, those Pharisees and scribes that had said, this man receives sinners and he eats with them. He says in verse 11 that a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now this father, the Bible tells us that he raised his children based upon the principles of God. And if he raised his children on the principles of God, then he would have been very familiar with the writings of the wise man Solomon. And by teaching both of those children, both of those young boys, how to deal with life, we can look at some of the writings that Solomon did. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 1. And keep your finger here in Luke because we're going to go back and forth. In teaching these young men about matters of life and about family, he would have been familiar and he would have taught these principles to his son. He would have told them about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge in verse number 7 of chapter 1. And understand that these things that he was teaching, he would have taught to his children, came by way of God. Therefore, those things that were spoken of to Solomon by way of God, God is speaking those same things to us. And listen what he would have told his children and what we are to do as well. He says in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Look down at verse 15. Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. He starts off by saying that I want you, children, to obey your parents. Okay? That was not something that was negotiable. The God of heaven says that I want you to hear the instruction of your father and don't forsake the law of your mother. And then he says, in regards to the type of people that you choose to be around, I want you to recognize that those people that go against the commandments of God, you are not only to not be with them, but you're not to support the things that they do. Sometimes we say, and I've heard this said many times, well, you know, the issue of homosexuality, I don't condone it, but I don't have a problem with someone else who happens to be that way. The Bible and God says that it's an abomination to him. If it's an abomination to him, it should be an abomination to us. He says all throughout this book, obey your parents. He would have told these young men the value that there is in wisdom. Look at chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We have a responsibility as parents to make sure that we train our children up in the way that they should go. Not going outside by way of the world and allowing Oprah and Dr. Phil to tell us how to raise our children. God has given us the best answer to everything that we need them to know. There is nothing that Oprah can tell me about how to tell my children what they need to do in order to be pleasing to him. If she says anything, and I'm not picking on Oprah, I know a lot of you like Oprah. If Oprah says anything outside of this book, Oprah is wrong. Amen. Dr. Phil is wrong if he gives advice outside of this book. This is the authority that has been given to us, and he didn't leave it to us to try to figure it out. He says, look, this is what you need, and I'm giving you everything. I'm not holding anything back, the God of heaven says. Everything that you're going to need pertaining to life and godliness, I'm going to give you. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad? You know? You think about trying to raise children today. If it wasn't for God, how many wise decisions do you think we would have made as parents? Think about it. You think about some of the things that go on in today's society, some of the things that these young people have to face on a daily basis in school. If it was not for God, how would we be able to give them the advice that they need if we only relied on Oprah and Dr. Phil? They're not going to say anything that's going to jeopardize those millions of dollars in support that they get. Whereas the God of heaven is only concerned with your soul. He sent his son to seek and save the lost. And as parents, we have the responsibility of making sure that our homes are conducive to godly learning. We cannot allow those things to come into our homes. When they come into our homes, it's as though we're putting them into our children's minds and into their hearts. And if we're going to allow things to come into our children's minds and hearts, we better make sure we know and understand everything. We can't turn a blind ear to the world. And if we do, we lose our children. And if we lose our children, we have to give an account. Because God gave us those children as blessings. Now, I want us to look at chapter 3 and verse number 5. He would have told his children to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now go back to the actions of this young man. This young man in Luke chapter 15 would have known about all of these things. In fact, Solomon talks about how to recognize wicked people. He mentions 7 things that God hates. These are things that you will be able to see in a person and say, this person here, the Bible says, is worthless, is wicked. These are things that, these are people that you should be able to not associate with and not allow to be a part of your life. These two boys would have known what a virtuous woman, what a virtuous wife was to be like. Why? Because God told us, and because this father, in teaching the principles of God, he didn't hold anything back. He told his children everything that they needed to know. I love the fact that David mentions this morning that with his two young children, his two young girls, he's talking about marriage at 5 and 6 years old. I never talked to mine about marriage at 5 and 6. I think we were talking about Ninja Turtles. I think that's what was going on there, and some of the things that they were saying at that time. But what a wonderful example, and I'm not in any way elevating David to be the example for the church. Well, he makes a good one, but understand the fact that he loves his wife, and his wife and him love their children enough not to hold anything back. And that's the responsibility that we have in regards to teaching our children. This young man said to his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So the father not only gave to that young one, he gave to the older one. And not many days after that, this young son decided, "I'm going to pack up everything that I have. I'm going to go into this faraway land." And it reminds me so much of when I was a young man at 16 and 17 and 18. And my mind goes to, I can't wait until I'm out of here. I want my privacy. Why do you have to tell me everything to do? I know what I'm doing. I have the answers. I can take care of myself. Certainly that didn't happen today. That was years ago. But this young man went to that faraway land and he wasted those things that were given to him. Mind you, he didn't earn anything. The Bible says that it fell to him by way of inheritance. And then when that famine came into that land, he began to be in want. And when he was in want, he had went and he had aligned himself with the types of people that he would have been told to avoid. And when he needed his friends the most, no one would help him. He was sent to work with the pigs. And it got so bad in his life that he was willing to eat what the pigs ate. And the Bible says that no one would help him. I wonder, where were those friends of his that helped him waste all that he was given? Young people, you don't think that it's important the type of people you align yourself with? This young man went down into that country and he decided that he wanted to be with people that he knew he should avoid. And when he needed their help the most, they were not there. I know you have friends and they're fun and they're popular and they do all the right things that popular people do, but understand that sometimes your friends can get you in a lot of trouble. A true friend has your best interest at heart. Not some of the time, not most of the time. A true friend has your best interest at heart all of the time. Everybody that's nice to you is not your friend. And this young man, the Bible says, he came to himself after being in that situation and he realized, you know something? I seem to remember some of the things that I was told. Young people, I'm not picking on you. Those lectures that you get,
I got them. Your parents received them. Your grandparents received them. Those lectures have been given out by parents all the way back to the very beginning of time. If you read Proverbs, you see where Solomon talks about the family some 70 times or parts thereof. He loved his family and he did everything that he could to make sure that they were righteous in the sight of God. This young man decided that he was going to humble himself and be courageous enough to do what was right. This young man had to have the knowledge of what he needed to do in order to make things right in his life, which is a strong indication that it came from the home. Because the Bible says, Jesus says, when he came to himself, he not only thought about his home, he thought about just how his father's servants were being treated. So this young man says, I'm going back home. He realizes that he has left that which was right, and he says that I will arise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. And this father looks out. We don't know exactly what this father was doing or where he was, but we know whatever it was that he was doing, he dropped it, he looked out and he saw his son, and the Bible says he ran to him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. I often wonder how many times has that father, since the day that son left, looked in that direction, hoping and praying for that very moment. You notice what he didn't do? You ever paid any attention to this part of the scripture and realized that father didn't go out and say, you know something, you should have listened to me. Look at the shame that you've brought on me. Look at the shame that you've brought on the family. You could have avoided this. All you had to do was listen to me. He didn't tear him down. The Bible says that he hugged him, he kissed him, he had compassion. He showed, I'm happy. Welcome home, my son. He wanted to make sure that his son was safe and sound, because when that older son came back and he heard everything that was going on and he asked one of the servants what was going on, the servant responded by saying that your father has found out that your brother is safe and sound. You know, sometimes when children don't go the direction that we think they ought to go, we think as parents that, you know, the louder we get, the more they're going to listen. Doesn't work. That father had compassion. And he says, welcome home. I'm glad that you're back. And he says, matter of fact, I want you to go out, get the best robe that we have, put rings on his fingers, put sandals on his feet, kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate and be happy because my son is back home. My boy, whom I love dearly, is back from the dead. He was out in the world, and now the Bible says that he has come back. I can't go there because he's going. He's going to talk about that. But I want to say this, and then I'm going to turn it over to Contavious in order that he will conclude this lesson. But I want to say this. Sometimes the biggest problem, young people, that parents have is not understanding that we were once your age. And sometimes parents the biggest problem we have in communicating and having a close relationship with our kids is not understanding that we were once their age. I know it's hard, young people, being a young person in May of 2007. I know it's hard. But I want you to understand something. It's even harder being a parent in May of 2007. There's not one decision that a godly parent will make without first thinking about how it's going to affect the family. From the type of car that you drive, to what neighborhood you live in, to the job that they get. Everything is thought about, how will this affect my family? Young people appreciate godly parents. You know why? You were not beaten with a hammer. You were not locked up in a room and beaten as something that happened 2 weeks ago. Godly parents show love, not merely with words, but godly parents show love by their actions. Young people, understand you have a blessing to have godly parents that are in this audience every Sunday and every Wednesday and at every gospel meeting and lectureship. As I close, parents, and y'all noticed this, I've kind of put all the young people over here and all the old people over here because I talk about children. Parents, if you have children that are faithful to God, thank God every day. And every opportunity that you have, go to that child of yours, even if it's picking up the phone, and tell them how much you love them and appreciate the decisions that they have made in regards to how they're going to live their life. And if you don't have children that are faithful to God but are in the way of the world, you pray to God every day, every opportunity that you have, and you ask God to help them realize the error of their way in order that they might come back or that they will come to salvation. And you let that child know, I love you so very much. I love you enough that I am praying and asking God to help you get your life right. Folks, the home is the most important institution other than the church on this earth. Our children learn from the home. How much, as parents, are you responsible for that learning? Quintavious.
After seeing and hearing that his younger brother has came back and was greeted with the ring, as stated in Luke 15, verse 22, with the ring, the robe, the best robe, a ring, and sandals. He began, in the fatted calf, he began to get jealous, and jealous to the point that he wouldn't even go in and rejoice that his younger brother had returned safely. Even though his father had came and pleaded with him to just come in and rejoice and be happy, he still didn't. He remained jealous. He thought that he was the one to deserve the best robe, a ring, the sandals, the party. He thought that he deserved all those finer things because he stayed and didn't go and squander his possessions, unlike his younger brother. Now, we have to understand that being jealous is not just dangerous, it's extremely dangerous. Being dangerous, it can ruin and destroy a relationship between friends, a relationship between family, and ultimately a relationship between God. In Galatians 5:20, it is talking about hatred, jealousies, selfish ambitions. And later on in verse 21, it says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Among those lists, jealousies, selfish ambitions, those are among them. So if we practice those things, it tells you right here in verse 21 that you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, bringing jealousy into the home. Now, bring jealousy into the home. If a person is jealous, or if each person is jealous in the home, it can and will destroy that home. The home is to be sacred. The home is to be lifted up. If it is broken, God will look down upon it. And we have to be careful about our getting jealous with our physical and spiritual family. In Luke 15, turning back to Luke chapter 15, verses 20, 21, and 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And in verse 24, where the father is speaking, he says, For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is how the home is supposed to be. Even though we might do certain things that would displease one another, we should always be able to come back to the home. And when we come back, we shouldn't be come back. We should come back, as stated by Brother Willie Smith, that we should come not tearing them down, being angry, and just going off on them, but come with open arms and kisses. And for it says in verse 32, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This also applies to God's home. Even though we might go astray, even though we might do stupid things, if we come back, God will greet you with open arms. Now, there's only one way to get into God's home, and that is hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live faithfully until the day that you die. So if you're not a Christian and desire to become one, and if you're a Christian and have gone astray, this is the time to come home. I plead with you, please come home tonight as together we stand and sing.